Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Good afternoon, everybody. We're back after taking off the holiday. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football. No vacations here, although I won't be around next week. But we are together for 4 hours, and we do have Hacksaw Jim Duggan set to join us.
No screwing around. Right into it. Just tell him what we got, baby. Ho!
Yep, the big Hacksaw. He's coming to town for the Riverhounds match tomorrow. I always try to read the room in situations like this. It's a Friday in the summer. People are, generally speaking, in a good mood. We have Paul Skeens pitching tonight. That, generally speaking, puts me in a good mood. But I was at the game yesterday, and I was in the sweltering heat and the humidity and everything else.
Why were you wearing pants?
I don't know.
Black pants.
Because it was,
and a black
it was overcast
shirt.
Before we left, and then the sun came out, and it ruined everything. I thought it was going to be
it wasn't
just an
pants
easy 80 day,
the sun
80
came
degree
out.
Day, and it turned into like 90 with the sweltering sun.
Who wears pants? Well, never mind. I don't even want to ask. You're wearing black pants when it's 80 degrees out. That's just as insane as wearing them when
Mike
there's 90.
Mike Tomlin wears black pants when it's 80 degrees. I don't hear you ripping him at training camp for doing that.
Doesn't he say that that's like a thing he does to like build willpower and show like I'm going to dress in the hottest possible
clothes?
Yeah,
at least I was showing willpower yesterday. I am so pissed off at this team. I am. And I probably shouldn't be. And I shouldn't let it get to me like this. But yesterday just really bugged me. And then I got to listen to Derek Shelton on my way home talk about how you trust Michael A. Taylor to dive for that ball, and he's allowed to do it because he's a gold glover and his defensive run saved stat is so good. And then I tweet about what he says, and I get no reaction to it. And I'm just like, am I banging my head against a wall and screaming into a tunnel and nobody is hearing me? Am I the only person that's allowing myself to get this angry? You've just lost 2 of 3 to the Cardinals. There are now 5 teams you've got to leapfrog to get to a playoff spot. Your other wunderkin young ace just went on the IL, and who the hell knows when he is going to pitch again. You had all kinds of brain fart moments in this series. Hayes didn't know how many outs there were. Michael A. Taylor the night before, thank God he won the game, but he's bunting with 2 strikes. They're making mistakes, I swear to God. If I was coaching Stella's youth softball team, I would get mad at 8 and 9 year olds for forgetting how many outs there were, bunting with 2 strikes, not knowing time and score, diving for a ball when you have no business doing that. I don't know. I mean, the fundamentals of this team annoy the hell out of me. They're not going anywhere. If they can't even do the things that you expect a major league team to get right, remember how many outs there are, know how many strikes you have, know when to take a risk and when not to. And that went on this entire series. It's really not, Chris.
I'm being facetious.
Okay.
Come on.
I'm more annoyed because sometimes I think, I don't know. I can't let Twitter be the only gauge here, but I put this stuff out there last night and it's like everyone must have been into hot dogs and fireworks.
Donnie, he says he got no reaction. Still 11,000 views. I would kill for no reaction being those kind of stats.
Maybe people don't give a bleep about them anymore. Well then, why weren't people just filling up the phone lines on the post game show?
Calling into us the next day and saying,
"What's up with this manager? Zero accountability. These guys are out to lunch against the Cardinals. It's the team that rips your heart out, farts in your face, laughs at you, kicks you in the balls. Whatever bullies do, pick you up. All your lunch money falls out of your pockets. Swirlies stuff you into a locker. All good ones." And it's like, well, we lost and the guy dove for it and it was by a run, but he's allowed to do that because he's hitting 165 and his defensive run save stat. If his defensive run save stat is so good, then who cares what he's hitting, Chris? Play him every day because he's Willie Mays out there in center field or Kenny Lofton, apparently. Sorry. It is Friday.
Are you sorry?
No, I'm not. I had to get that. This was selfish, but also cathartic.
Two things. One, people are somewhat on vacation, so I think maybe some of the usual base of people who would be lining up to tell you, either concur with you or whatever is just lessened. Two, well, actually there's three. Two is I think people are somewhat brainwashed into thinking this team is still like very seriously a contender when every sign that they show other than having good starting pitching, which now has been, lessened by a third for the time being with Jones. They don't have any other thing that they do well. People are still brainwashed into thinking that, and they also don't want to give you credit for being right about anything. And three, we're finding out, and this has always been a truism of you, baseball is your favorite sport. Always has been. I've known this about you. You love to keep score. You love the mental side of the game. And that's why the things that they do when they lose games like these 2 or 3 here are even the game that they won are especially infuriating. Because one, it's just like, are you out to lunch? Key Brian Hayes is supposed to be a defensive virtuoso. He's forgetting how many outs there are. Keller's got to run over there and cover the bag. There's the Tellez.
That's another good point. Twice in 2 games, pitchers forgot to cover bags.
Well, yeah, there's Tellez and Chapman.
And Perez
and
yesterday.
That whole mess.
How does that happen?
I mean, the bottom line is, I think it's reasonable to want to say about any pro baseball team, but especially one that doesn't have the financial clout that others do, at least play the game in a crisp, thoughtful way, for lack of a better term, and they don't. Their teams, even when they have been good at times, have been remarkably cavalier with how they, how they take an extra base or don't, defensively, heads up or not heads up plays. It is frustrating. I can only speak anecdotally here, Pony. I'm not going to let Twitter be my guide. Definitely at any 4th of July function I was at yesterday, people are talking about the Pirates when sports comes up. And it's, they're asking me, do you think they'll make a move? Is this team even good? There's still, I think, a sense among fans that they're not really that good, that they just have a couple really good starting pitchers, which I think is accurate. There's also this. You're reading the room. You're trying to get a sense of what people feel. I do think there's a malaise about them, and I'll explain it quickly. I think people are just used to us. It's the old Mad TV sketch, lowered expectations for the Pirates. I think there is an assumption that they're not going to be a player here at the deadline, that they're not going to do anything to seriously augment this team, and that that's more par for the course for them. And I think people have just become conditioned, if not to like that, to accept that.
If you're losing games like when they lost 20-0 to the Brewers in 2010, and it's just like, we have no chance. It's an onslaught. It's embarrassing. The talent gap between the two teams, they're playing one sport, we're playing another. The Cardinals have the same exact run differential as you. Go up and down their lineup. Look at their over-the-hill pitching staff. They're not on paper that much better than you. They've spent a lot of money. The guys they've spent money on hitting-wise have done diddly squat.
I know.
And look, they were not like totally buttoned up this week either. It's not like they didn't make
but
some
they won
mental
two out of
mistakes.
Three.
Yes, exactly.
They won.
And you know what? And I back to Shelton here. I forgot this. You know what else didn't happen with them? They managed their pitching staff correctly. Yesterday, you know you have a short bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Perez, it's late in the game for him, the eighth inning, but he's under 100 pitches. You yank him out of an inning where there's no trouble. He is not putting runners on. You don't need someone warming up to get him out. You don't need a Houdini at by a reliever. You, for precautionary reasons, I guess, preemptively take him out of the game to bring Nicholas in. All right, great. He gets you out of the inning. But you're in such a tight game. Who's going to pitch the ninth and the 10th and the 11th?
That's
if
why
it goes
Dennis
that far,
Santana is out
and
there.
And we've got Dennis Santana. The Santana that should be on the team is playing in Minnesota, where he could be one of your better hitters. If you wanted a Santana, you should have kept that guy. Instead, Holderman almost blows it again. He didn't. Good for him. But once he's done, you had nothing left. Apparently, he didn't want to use Ortiz yesterday.
It just looks much more like if you let Perez go and try to finish eight, he probably does it, given the way he had been cruising.
Then you've got Nicholas 9 and Holderman 10, and at that, okay.
You, however you want, you have Nicholas available. The bottom line is you are not going to Dennis Santana. That's the bottom line. They're a frustrating ball club, man. I mean, they are. It's
and there's
weird.
No accountability, you know, after the game. I got to hear the manager can't even bring himself to say that the dive in center field was not the right play.
It's good vibes.
What is wrong with him?
It's good vibes.
Good vibes. You've got to leapfrog the Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Mets, Giants,
I'm saying,
and Reds
have you,
now.
Have you known Derek Shelton at any point in his Pirates tenure to be a guy that's going to come down hard on players?
I'm not even asking him to come down hard. I'm just asking him to call it like it is. Can you be a straight shooter? Then I got to watch the postgame show on TV, and Michael McHenry's first comments are, this was a great game. If you're a baseball fan, you've got to be happy about it.
No, you don't.
What are we doing?
You are approaching.
Oh,
you were
my
born,
God.
You were born a Mets fan, which means this kind of internal torture has always been second nature to you. But you almost remind me of like when you hear about religion, people who are adult converts are much more fervent about it. I just feel like you are an adult convert Pirates fan, fervently talking about something that should make people mad. And people like me, born in these fires. I don't know, Donnie quickly here.
Donnie cares. Donnie was the kid in high school that was telling his buddies that the Pirates are always going to be good, and then they weren't.
Did you watch that game? Did you watch that game yesterday with anywhere near the emotion that he is expressing now? I didn't.
It's the Cardinals.
I didn't. But I didn't.
I mean, I understand his point. 100%,
But you don't have the same vigor about
it. It's like a quasi-playoff series. You lose it, you look bad, and you lose ground.
Pony, we're aware of this. We agree with you, but I'm just telling you, the semi-muted response here is, fool me once, shame on me, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. I mean, I've seen this movie before. I know how it ends pretty much every time, especially when that infuriating baseball team is the one we're discussing.
You get beat straight up, fine. Like, I'll find a way probably to complain about it anyways.
Yes, you will.
But when you forget how many outs. You're diving for balls you shouldn't.
They don't lose
you're
in a way that's
acceptable.
You're not
covering first base.
They don't lose because they're
you're
just beaten by a better team.
You're bunting with two strikes.
They're not beaten by better teams every time.
Every
they're beaten by themselves.
Every high school coach in the area is like, you don't do these things, and he's ripping players out of the game when they screw up for it. Ugh. I need another drink. I actually had too many yesterday.
Is that a cause of this
I don't know.
Rant? You seem like you're in good form today. You worked out this morning, and man, you thought the Pirates were alarming. Apparently, your workout today, or what you observed at the gym, was another story altogether.
I don't want to get into that.
A little too obvious.
I don't want to get into that. 412-928-9370. Here's my prediction, and Donnie does a great job. Some producers, there's a guy on the weekends. You could have 15 people call in, and he won't take a single call. And Donnie knows exactly who that is.
So
I will say 412-928-9370.
Mm-hmm.
Are people upset that the Pirates lost 2 of 3 to the Cardinals and the way they lost those games? 412-928-9370. And my guess is we won't have more than 2 people who call in. Because I think more people feel like you. It's just like, I'm Charlie Brown. The football's been pulled out too many times, and I'm not getting emotionally invested. Then what the hell are we doing for the last month talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Pete Alonso and Luis Robert Jr. and Jazz Chisholm, if people just inevitably thought this was going to happen anyways? If you're so nihilistic and defeatist about your about this team, why the hell are we even talking about big trades?
Because you still talk about it because you might get surprised.
Well, why didn't you say, Pony doesn't make a difference. This team's going to find a way to F it up anyways.
Well, that's not a very good way to do a radio show, Pony.
Yeah, but it might strike a chord with our listeners because they might agree with you on it.
Well, I guess I'm trying to quietly strike a chord today by saying this is just more of the same. Even when they have something like Paul Skeens is pitching today, you should be pumped about that.
And maybe once we get closer to 640, I will, but right now I'm annoyed that they lost 2-3 to St. Louis.
When Lucy pulls the football away this many times, it's very hard to get mad that you once again ended up.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
With your ass in the dirt.
I just keep telling myself that we have Hacksaw Jim Duggan today, and that is calming me down and causing me to cool my jets, although the Pirates lineup is out. And what do you know, Michael A. Taylor right back in there batting ninth. Because after you make a boneheaded play, the skipper's got to make sure he's back in the lineup to let him redeem himself. Actually, he doesn't have to redeem himself because the manager says he has carte blanche to dive for whatever ball he wants at whatever time he wants because he's won a gold glove and he leads baseball in defensive runs saved.
You know, the curious thing about his citation, Shelton's, of the Atlanta play. You remember that Atlanta play? Can you visualize it in your mind's eye right now? The one
yeah.
Taylor made?
Yep.
It wasn't what I would call a spectacular route to the ball, nor was it
a seamless looking, you know how diving catches, sometimes you know if a guy's going to make the catch because it looks like he's kind of got it measured. That one looked awkward, like he almost got lucky that he didn't overrun the ball or take a bad path. I wouldn't even be using that to cite, like, oh, yeah, he made this great catch.
It's not friggin' Willie Mays against the Indians in the World Series or Jim Edmonds doing one of those running basket catches or any kind of, like, insane diving catch we've seen a guy make. It was a decent play.
But it wasn't. It was an awkward-looking decent play, is my point, which shows me that, like, maybe he didn't have it measured as well as you thought, and you don't have to. But you also just don't have to cite that. The guy is, Michael A. Taylor is like, what, 33, 34 years old? He's been around the block. I think he could handle it if a manager said, yeah, ultimately, I think, you know, maybe that's when you just try to keep in front of you and you don't play into that situation the way he did. I don't think Michael
A. What is he going to do? Storm into the manager's office and say, what's wrong with you? You don't have my back?
Put his, what, 480 something OPS on the table and say, look what else I'm providing you. Shelton to me has very little desire, it seems, to ever crack, you know, sort of, if this were horse racing, to like go to the whip a little bit with his team, to try to get a little more out of him with a little bit of sandpaper and a little bit of vinegar instead of honey.
If you're a manager that wants to bat guys who are slumping, that are having physical errors, guys are just going through hard times, you never want to publicly come out and annihilate a Rowdy Tellez or Connor Joe, who's been in a big slump, or Michael A. Taylor offensively, who's been in a season-long slump. Okay, I don't agree with that, but that's easier for me to accept than when you have a series where literally I can give you five or six mistakes, mental errors, that good high school baseball teams don't make. Those are the times where you're like, look, if we're going to be a contender, we can't have these gaffes. We can't beat ourselves. That's not asking too much of a manager to send that message to the media and fans. He won't do it. I don't think he's cut out. One of the reasons why I don't think he's cut out for the job, Chris.
Well, he's only a couple times this year, I would say, called out his team. Like, he gets asked directly after they've had some spectacularly, like more so than yesterday, sloppy games. And he'll say, it's got to be better. And then that's almost like the last you hear of it. It's just, you have to be... I think a skill of great baseball managers anymore, with so much of the game decided by people above them or strategy, is the few bits of in-game strategy that they have, maybe bullpen usage and management. They got to be good at that. It's 162 games, though. Guys are paid more than ever before, so I think getting through to guys and staying locked in with guys, you know, in terms of just your message getting delivered, is harder than it's ever been. The best ones find a way to do that, and that's not by being the exact same guy every single time. You've got to change your tone, change your tune based on what you see. And man, I would think yesterday would be a prime example of saying that's a game we've got to win, and that's a game that we made it easy on them.
Here is Dave in Brookline. Hello, Dave.
Hello, fellas. How are you today?
Oh, hi, Dave. How is Brookline these days?
Hey, it's great.
Do you know
it's...
any good barbers in Brookline, Dave?
The good barbers are in Cannonsburg, I heard. Word on the street.
Are they sober?
Most of the time.
When they're cutting hair?
Most of the time.
Fair enough. I guess I can't ask for much more.
I wanted to talk about what's considered a good PFF, Chris? What's a good PFF rating, Chris?
Anything in the 80s, Dave.
So you're talking like 89.2. That's like Hall of Fame?
Yeah, whose PFF grade is 89.2, Dave?
Oh, only Dino Tomlin.
Thank you, Dave.
It's a feel-good Friday. We've got to let Dave feel good.
Here's Neil in Butler. Hello, Neil.
Hey, guys. Listen, I am a huge baseball guy. Love it. I'm born in 78, been to 400 games. I've been to probably three in the last 10. That's my first one. My first quick question is, does anybody know what is his contract situation, Shelton? John Russell, whatever you want to call him.
We know that he got an extension. We don't know how much money he's making. We don't know how long the extension is either.
But we know he got a vote of confidence.
Is that really odd?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
100%.
To me, it's staggering. And then the other one is, we go back to what, maybe it was Jim Leland said, like, the managers can win you seven or lose you seven the rest of the 150 or whatever, you know, 148.
Sure.
Or the players play. And, you know, and this team has definitely lost more than seven because of managerial decisions and or player, just whatever you want to call it. It's just horrible. And this town has been getting on numerous coaches from other sports, numerous players from other sports. All of a sudden, Telez has 3 good weeks and we're all chanting for him. I mean, it's a shame for that. That's I couldn't do that if I was at the game.
At the very least, he's had the 3 good weeks or 4 good weeks or whatever it is. I have to at least give him that. He's been probably their best offensive player since the calendar hit June.
But that's the sad part.
I mean, it's sad. There's a lot of things that are sad about this team right now.
Ben, why doesn't Ben Cherington take some? Like, I just think that he is. I know he's got the few good pitchers that do whatever. Everybody raves about the system and all that. And we know, but we are. This to me, he is not.
When you're saying that, like, why doesn't he take more flack? Do you, like, are you meaning from this show or generally? Like, I think we're pretty hard on both of these guys on this show, at least, and most of the shows on this station. I don't think you're going to find a love letter to Ben Cherington being written by most people.
I'm not suggesting that either way, whether it's your show or anything. I just feel like the angst we got with these certain guys like Canada, and we get it with, you know, even with Sully's getting it, you know, and rightfully so, and the way Hextall, and I see all this, like, but I just don't feel that angst has been there for Cherington.
Well, I know why it's not, Neil. You don't realize it. You're basically in my boat. You hold them to a lower standard, and you just have seen it so many times before. He's echoing what
okay,
I said. He sounds more upset about it, but he's echoing it.
What I'm upset about is holding them to the lowest of standards, which is can you do the things that we expect Major League Baseball teams to do 100% of the time? Never forget how many outs there are in an inning. Don't bunt with 2 strikes. Don't dive for a ball. If you miss it, it puts a runner in scoring position in a tie game. Things like that. Cover first base on a ground ball to first if you're a pitcher. I mean, these are not hard asks. These are things that the Pirates players, whether you're at developmental A-ball or in the major leagues, they should be able to do. Now, hitting splinkers and 102-mile-per-hour pitches and, you know, being able to hit for a high average and OPS against all kinds of crazy relief pitchers and power arms and all that's hard. This is the bare minimum that they're not getting right. Like, Cherington can wear it for signing Michael A. Taylor. That was not a good use of $4 million, especially when guys like Jurickson and Profar were out there for $1 million, and he's going to start in the All-Star game. So it's not even that they didn't spend a lot of money. It's they didn't spend what they had wisely or smartly. That's annoying enough. What's even more annoying is you have a manager that doesn't demand out of this team for them to just do the fundamental things correctly.
It doesn't sound like it probably, but that does chafe me more than pretty much anything with them. Man, you should just say all this to my dad one day. Nothing to this day bothers him more.
Do you think that this would fall on deaf ears with John Football, Donnie, what I'm saying here?
Honestly, probably a little bit.
Why, though?
Because, again, I guess these people just expect the team to suck.
I mean, my dad's favorite player was Bill Verdon. He liked defense and fundamental heads-up play.
So people go to games thinking that it's tolerable for guys to forget how many outs are left?
I don't think they think it's tolerable.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't say that. It's just like we're accustomed to
it. Bunting with 2 strikes.
Well, I think it's
that's
like,
cool.
I think part of the thing is if a guy does something where it's a bit of a brain fart, but it ultimately doesn't come back to bite them, like the Hayes forgetting the outs doesn't come back to bite them. And then if that player were to do something good the next inning, just the way we talk about sports nowadays, it's focus on the awesome thing he did.
The thing that happened, the Tuesday, the forgetting the outs to me was just a microcosm of that game where they had a day off and they just didn't show up against the Cardinals. They're the worst team in the National League with a day off. And all we hear about is how important rest is for this team. And the only team in baseball with the worst record with rest is the White Sox.
Section of, you know, by having Jackson Iovine and, you know, having Pustinen and the boost those guys gave after the trade deadline, how the team played. And I think that we want to carry that momentum and, you know, make sure that we're bringing in some young guys to help Sid and Gino and Letang and make sure that, you know, they're getting a push from below and, you know, helping the team's pace stay high. So, yeah, we feel like we've accomplished that.
That is the Penguins assistant GM, former Penguins nemesis Jason Spezza, now working for Kyle Dubas, with Jeff Hathorn today.
Nice roster of guests for Jeff.
Yeah, and saying that there is a youth movement taking place here. Youth is being served with the Penguins.
Very slowly being served. Very slowly.
They traded for Kevin Hayes.
He's old.
They signed Matt Grizzlick.
Not older, much older than P.O. Joseph.
They signed the bad Sebastian Aho.
Not young.
They
Jack
did,
St. Ivany and Shea.
They did bring in Anthony Bevilier, who's only 27 years old.
We'll call that in the middle. Call it
to me,
middle.
A youth movement is you're opening up spots on your roster for guys in your minor league system to actually play. I didn't see them do that in free agency. I mean, I guess these guys are just placeholders because they're on one-year contracts. So it's not like they're
the youth movement
locked in long term. And
the
if they lose their jobs to young guys, that's not a big deal.
The youth movement for them is simply not signing other than Hayes. We're not bringing in other than Hayes any more really old guys. That constitutes a youth movement. But I actually think the second thing you said there is probably how they perceive it. We're not locking up spots anymore beyond the guys that we already have with players that, you know, are on big contracts. They did trade away Riley Smith.
Yeah.
Old guy.
They brought in Kevin Hayes because he's part of the Massachusetts Mafia. That's what they liked more than anything else, that he's speaks the Boston lingo that Fenway Sports Group and Mike Sullivan like. Matt, by the way, yesterday after I got home from the game, I told you I needed to let off some steam. I started watching a lot of the Revolutionary War stuff.
As one does to let off steam.
Because it was Independence Day.
Why didn't you watch Independence Day starring Will Smith? Did George Washington fight aliens? I think not. He crossed the Delaware River.
You should go watch some of this stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it got you more fired up.
Well, these guys running the colonies, running the Massachusetts colony for England, were bad guys. This Thomas Hutchinson, you ever read about him?
I've heard the name.
He was the Massachusetts governor. Franklin had to expose his ass. He found his letters going back to England.
Oh, yeah, really?
Published those suckers. That really got the people talking.
Thomas Hutchinson, that guy was a real jerk.
That got Revere and Sam Adams fired up.
Ben Revere and Sam Adams, you fire those two up.
You
want to
know what Revere did too? He didn't just say the British are coming. You know that Boston Massacre deal?
Yeah.
It wasn't even that bad, but he made the painting or the drawing that he did look
very
much worse.
The first instance of fake news.
Yep.
He staged the photograph.
Did you know that, Donnie? Revere.
I did not know he fabricated it a little bit.
He had like dogs in the painting that were like licking like bloody civilians and stuff.
Man, guy was a creative dude.
Yep. Yeah, he made it sound like they were just people walking around in the public square minding their own business when here came the muskets came out and started butchering them.
So what was the net effect of you watching all this Revolutionary War stuff?
They had balls. There's no doubt about that.
That's what muskets were filled with, I think.
No, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about the Americans.
Had some real big brass ones?
Well, because think about their army had fought in all these wars. They had all this experience, this, you know, whole imperialism thing they had going on there with King George and whatever else.
The whole imperialism
Seriously,
thing.
French and Indian War. I mean, they had
very
some
colonial, yes.
Big navy. I mean, they had some experienced military might. And we just had people that were fired up and were going out there with sickles and
farmers
torches and rakes. Torches and rakes and stuff for
imagine
weapons.
Getting beat with a musket when you have a by the guy with a rake.
Yeah.
He just comes out there with a rake and
that
takes
was,
it
that
to
was
you.
Bunker Hill right there. Guys were running the English or British were running up that hill and they were just getting hit with whatever those
with
folks
every,
had.
With every farm implement
yeah,
in
I'm
the book.
I'm telling you, man. You got to go watch and read this stuff.
Are you aware of the infamous, I don't even know if it's true
1776
or not.
Was a hell of a year.
Where would you rank it among years?
Top five.
Where's 1492? Probably bottom five, depending on your point of view.
I don't know. I go back and forth on that because I don't think Columbus was a good guy by any stretch.
Of course he wasn't.
But then the Italian-American pride bubbles up inside me.
But aren't you Russian more than anything?
Well, I found out about that later in life. I was raised as an
Italian-American.
Oh, so
you're an adopted Italian in a way.
Yeah.
Like you've adopted the Italian-American pride to some degree.
Yeah.
You
ever see the Sopranos episode? They did not like when they tried to take away the Columbus Day Parade, Donnie.
Isn't that the famous...
Oh, no, they got really mad.
That's an Italian-American discrimination or whatever? Isn't yep. that the famous clip?
Columbus in this house is a hero. End of story.
Remember
they got really upset with AJ.
Remember they were in the coffee shop and Paulie was getting all pissed off that
espresso
these
espresso machines.
Yeah.
They took all of this from us.
He was not
Buffalo
happy.
Mozzarella.
Are you familiar with the fact that, I don't know if it's true.
Go look up Hutchinson.
Hold on. Stop.
I'm telling you.
King George III reportedly had kept a diary like all monarchs did, I guess, or royals.
Yeah.
July 3rd, 1776, he wrote, "Nothing of note happened today," and that was when things were a-building. So it's famous that apparently he was completely out to lunch on this for weeks after. How are you going to transmit a message? You got to say
it back
to him.
Well, it took so long.
That's what I... Thank
exactly.
You. Yes.
It took 6 weeks, as a matter of fact.
For a message to get back to him, and then it took 6 more weeks for directives. How was that army supposed to function?
He was getting mixed messages, too. Because they tried to send something to reconcile at the same time he's getting reports that this Continental Congress is forming, and he looked at that as an act of treason. He did not take that kindly.
It's a miracle that the British thought they could actually keep him under the thumb, though.
They got too big for their britches.
Of course they did.
The taxation was what screwed him. It was greed.
Because there wasn't representation.
But if they had just said no Stamp Act, none of this business, who knows?
We might still be eating English breakfast and speaking with a goofy accent here.
And terrible dental hygiene.
Our teeth would be... Dentists wouldn't even exist. We'd be eating blood sausage through our crooked snaggle teeth.
I mean, you
here.
Know it's bad. We're watching this documentary yesterday, and they popped this English bloke on, and this put his name up before he even said a word. He opened his mouth, and my mother-in-law goes, "Oh, he's got to be English." The just teeth. Because that dental work was brutal. It looked like a piranha. It was so bad.
A piranha?
Yeah. Here's Tom in Pittsburgh. Hello, Tom.
Well, hi, guys. How you doing?
Tom, you ever do any Revolutionary War history study? It's fun. There's a lot of good stuff
I'm
there.
I'm basically a World War II guy. I was a history major, and I do World War II reenactments. I just did one over in Reading.
Get out of here. That's really cool, man.
Oh, yeah.
So you go to Reading,
like,
and what do you do?
And everything.
So what do you get dressed up as when you go? What do you put on?
Oh, I just put on, like, you know, a pair of fatigues, and I have a tent, you know, and just stay there overnight. And we have, like, some of the bombers from World War II, like, you know, the B-24s, mm-hmm. The B-29, that just...
Can I ask you a serious question about this? And I don't mean it to be glib. It's going to come off that way, but I don't. Is there, like, an amount of time that needs to pass from the time a conflict actually happens for reenactments to start happening, Tom? Because I've only really ever heard of in this
Civil
country...
Civil War reenactments
right,
are big.
Tons of Civil War reenactments. Obviously, they keep the Union and Confederate uniforms. You are, to be very fair, the first World War II reenactor I have ever spoken to.
Same.
So I was wondering how that worked for in terms of
time-wise.
It's
an honor, quite frankly, to talk to one.
It depends on how many people are interested. Like, you
That's
know, if
point.
You have people that, you know, dislike the idea of just reenacting World War II. And most of the guys that were, like, in the German army, you know, that were the Nazis, they were from Poland. Mm. And I was blown away with that. I said, "Where are you from?" And the guy said, "Warsaw." And he was, like, a German tank commander. And that just kind of, like, threw me for a loop. I couldn't believe
that.
So
were you calling in to talk about some of this war stuff, Tom, or did you have another reason to chime in?
Well, the reason I call is because what really bothers me is the catcher that we have, you know, as far as Grindel. I mean, I think that guy should never, ever be behind the plate. When the game's on the line, and it's really important, what happens is he calls for a changeup, you know, and it just floated over the plate, and boom, that's the end
of the
game.
So you think he's a predictable late-game catcher?
Oh, he's horrible. I mean, he shouldn't even be around.
Have you seen – thank you, Tom. And
hold on, he's – yeah, I reenact wars. War is a matter of life and death. I'm calling about something far more serious, and that's Yasmani Grandal late in games.
His numbers offensively are more hideous right now than Austin Hedges.
Is he worse than Michael A. Taylor currently? I think they have a real battle for who the worst offensive player on the entire
oh,
roster
man.
Is. Here, let's play a little game. Mulsey's got
you
it
know
in
what?
Front of him.
I think Grandal's worse.
Amongst guys.
I think Grandal's worse.
Okay, Grandal doesn't have a qualifying number of at-bats and plate appearances. Taylor... 490 OPS, which is comedy, right?
Yep.
I'm getting rid, though, of the people who don't qualify. Grandal, 460 OPS. He is worse. He's hitting 171. He's slugging 256. He is a probably average to below average hitting pitcher.
412-928-9370. It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything, and that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.